in Matthew 5 and 5 from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what does that mean? What is Jesus referring to when he says, blessed are the meek? How would you define it? How would you define the word meek? What does that mean to you? Someone says, that person sure has a meek spirit. How would you define the word meek? A man by the name of William Barclay, he was a 20th century Bible translator. And according to Barclay, he said this was the most untranslatable word in the New Testament. That it's something that just has a very difficult time wrapping around the meaning of this word meek. Galatians 5 and 22 tells us, though, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that's from the King James Version. And so they picked up on the word meekness. But as later translations have occurred, in fact, nearly all the translations that I checked, the New King James, the ESV, the NIV, they use a different word. They use gentleness. That gentleness in place of the word meekness. And certainly being gentle is a characteristic of a person who is meek. But I don't believe that that really fully encompasses the idea of what it means to be meek. So let's talk about what being meek is not. Meek does not mean weak. And that seems to be the idea that most people have in their minds. Meek as a little lamb. Well, a lamb is weak. A lamb is not ever going to physically overpower you. It's weak. But that's not what meek means. Meek does not mean timid. Meek does not mean shy. Meek does not mean that you're a pushover or you're a doormat and you allow people to walk all over you. That's not what meek means. Meek doesn't mean that you refuse to stand up for yourself. Meek does not mean that you're spineless and you don't have a backbone. Meek does not mean that you always acquiesce to the demands of other people. But that's what people think when they hear the word meek. Unfortunately, in our world, in our language, typically, when we think of weak, that's meek, rather, that is what we think of. That meek equates with the word weak. And nothing could be further than the truth. That is not what meek means at all. Let me give you an example. In 2 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, there's a story here about Eli the priest. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Eli, the priest, his sons were running rampant. They were some vile, unholy people, and Eli knew it. And you know what Eli did about it? Absolutely nothing. He allowed it to happen. He sat back. He didn't cause conflict. He didn't cause a problem. He was weak. He was timid. He let his sons take over the things that they should not have been involved in. And Eli just sat back and watched the whole thing, and he did not restrain them. He was weak. He was timid. He was a pushover. He was a doormat. Do you think the Lord would consider Eli meek? Absolutely not. Eli is not meek. Eli is weak. There's a difference. He is not meek. He is weak. Eli was not being commended as one of these Christian graces that we read in Galatians. He was not being commended for ignoring the sinful actions of his children. He wasn't meek. Eli was weak. See, meekness is a character trait that's very hard to find in people nowadays. And it's also very hard to define. But don't think that meek means that you have to always back up. And you have to allow people to walk all over you and tread all over you and get whatever they want to out of you. That's what's expected when the Lord says that we are to be meek. You know, that or that translation in Galatians, it said that it was gentleness. Was Eli gentle in his handling with his sons? I guess so. He didn't do anything. He didn't punish them. And so I guess one way of looking at it was, yeah, he was gentle. He didn't cause a big fuss. There wasn't a fight. He allowed it to happen. And so we can see very carefully that the word meekness involves so much more than just being gentle. It is not being weak. From the Reader's Digest, Oxford Complete Word Finder. It's a long old word. These are the current synonyms you can find for the word meek. Timid, mild, bland, unambitious, retiring, weak, tame, docile, acquiescent, repressed, spiritless, broken. And my favorite one of all, wimpy. And that's what people, those are synonyms in the dictionary for the word meek. Is that what the Bible means when it talks about being meek? Is that the Christian grace? Are we supposed to be timid and mild and docile and acquiescent? Are we supposed to be wimpy people as Christians? And obviously we realize something's changed. The meaning of these this word has changed over time. You know, words evolve from one society to the next over time. And I'm telling you, this is a word that has changed. That is not what the Bible means when it says we are to be meek. In fact, there's two I know that are called meek in the Bible. And that would be Moses in Numbers 12 and 3. And also in Jesus in 2 Corinthians 10 and 1, it talks about the meekness of Jesus. Now I want you to think about Jesus and the life that he lived and the way he took on the sins of the world there upon the cross at Calvary. Would you dare stand up to Jesus and call him wimpy? Absolutely not. Would you call him docile? Would you call him acquiescent as he turns over the tables of the money changers in the temple? No, Jesus, he wasn't weak, but Jesus was meek. I want you to think about all the examples of Moses and how he stood in front of the Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth, and demanded, "Let my people go." Would you call Moses a wimp? Would you call him docile? Would you call him timid? Absolutely not. That is not what is meant by that word. But they are meek. They are not weak. So which current word would you use to apply to Moses, Jesus? Let's think about David, Elijah, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, any of the great heroes that we read about in the Bible. How many of them would you call weak, timid, shy? There's not a one of them would. These men were able to stand up for what they believed in the face of unbelievable persecution. There's not a way in the world we would consider them weak. But the Bible says, as Christians, we are to have meekness. So it's got to be something different. I'm telling you, the word has changed. The meaning of the word has changed from the original Greek when it was used in the New Testament. Here's some partial definitions. Humility, gentleness. I think those are all part of it. I think that's all part of the word meek. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I don't think that they fully define the word. They're all just portions of the definition. Strong's defines meekness as humility and mildness. I think that's pretty close. But I still don't think we're understanding the entire picture of what it means to be meek. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 21 through 23, I think this is where we can start getting a little understanding. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So as we study kind of this character picture here of Jesus, who we know was meek, we kind of get an idea of what the word meekness means in relation to Jesus. He suffered. He felt pain, but he didn't do anything about it. Is that because Jesus was scared? Is it because he was timid? Is it because Jesus was acquiescent or docile or any of those other words that those synonyms we read a minute ago? Absolutely not. The reason Jesus suffered was that he suffered, look what it says, for us. And so there was an intent. Jesus just took it. He allowed the suffering because he knew it was for a greater purpose. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back. That's what human nature is. That's what all of the Old Testament was, right? Somebody came up there and kicked you in the leg. Well, the law of retaliation said, well, I'll kick you back in the leg. That is human nature, is to retaliate. If someone reviles you, you revile back. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus suffered, but he didn't threaten. And there's a reason why he didn't do that. And it tells us right here, it's because he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And I want you to remember this phrase when we talk about meekness. If you want to be meek, you do what is right. Just do what is right. No matter what the situation, no matter if it's going to help your cause or hurt your cause or whatever, just do what is right. Do good. Do what you're supposed to do. And I think in doing so, we then pick up the idea of what it means to be meek. So the meekness of Jesus. Jesus felt the wrongs done against him. He felt those nails go into his hand. He felt those whips coming across his back, but he chose not to respond. He could have. In fact, he even gave us a glimpse into the greatest power of meekness. He says, don't you think I could now call 10,000 angels down here? He could have. Jesus very easily could have ended the whole thing, but he chose not to. He felt the pain. He knew what it was. He wasn't weak. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. It was strength. Jesus was thinking of us and thinking of all sinners and did not allow his spirit to become vindictive. When he was reviled, he did not revile back. And Jesus committed himself to God. He's going to let God sort things out. He's going to allow the righteous judge to settle things. Just do what's right. Just do what you're supposed to do and everything will get taken care of. You know, I've seen this sign before a lot of times, heard this. There is no I in team. But I think we could also change that. There's no I in me either. And so if we're thinking about ourselves, and somebody did something to me, so I got to get them back, and it's always focused on us, and I, me, it's going to be very, very hard to be meek. We have to take it off of us and think about the greater good. And that's what Jesus did. He personally took pain. He personally had issues. But he did not allow that to change his spirit. He accepted it. Even though he could have ended it at any time, he's sitting there hanging on the cross. Remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's meekness. That's what meekness is. It's being able and having the right to do something. It's being able to be vindictive, and it's being justifiable to be vindictive. And choosing not to, because it's not for the greater good. That's what meekness is. And that's what's so difficult to explain. The Complete Word Study Dictionary went back to the Greek. It went all the way back to Aristotle. So I want you to hear what Aristotle says about the Greek word that we get meekness from. It's praeutis. And it says, this is Aristotle, the middle standing between two extremes. Getting angry without reason and not getting angry at all. It is getting angry at the right time, in the right measure, and for the right reason. It's a balance born in strength of character. Getting mad in the right measure, at the right time, at the right person, for the right reason. That's the idea of meekness. Most people are not like that. Most people in the world. In fact, I saw a deal on Facebook the other day. Maybe Kyle would appreciate this. It said, don't yell at the server at the restaurant when your food takes too long. Because the server has nothing to do with that. That's the cook. But that's the way we like to do it. Don't yell at the cashier because the prices have gone up. The cashier has nothing to do with how much things cost. We have to be able to get mad at the right person, at the right time, in the right measure, for the right reason. And all that has to go together. Just do what's right. How about we don't get mad at anybody? How about we don't yell at anybody? But if we have to, remember Jesus in the temple? Remember how he had to turn those tables over because people were taking advantage of the common people? And I don't really remember Jesus. And someone may be able to remember an example. I don't really remember Jesus ever really getting upset with the common folks. I can't think of one. Now, he got mad at the money changers. And he got angry with the scribes and the Pharisees who weren't doing what they ought to be doing, that knew better. But I don't remember Jesus ever really getting upset with the common people who were just trying to do what's right. If you're going to get angry at the right person, at the right time, the right amount of anger, for the right reason. That's what meekness is. Instead of hollering at somebody just because you can, how about we don't holler at people at all? So let me give you a working definition. Meek means strength under control. It's the ability to do something, or even the right to do something, but that you choose not to because it's not in the best interest of the big picture. It is strength under control. That is what is meant by the word meekness. Let me go one step further here. Now you understand why Barclay says it's the most untranslatable word in the New Testament. It is hard to wrap it around. Is it gentleness? Yes. Is it kindness? Yes. Is it anger? Yes. Everything kind of falls together in the concept of meekness. It's a very difficult word to understand. But the idea is to have strength under control. And there's not a better example than Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross at Calvary. That was meekness. Let me give you one more. And this is where I like this part of the lesson. If you go back to the New Testament Greek, and that is this word right here. It's K-I-O-N-E. That is what it was, the language was called at the time of the writing of the New Testament. The word praus, P-R-A-U-S, was now translated as meek. And so that word has a very, very interesting history, interesting background. The word actually comes from, has origins that come from the Greek military. And so what would happen, these Greek soldiers, as they were traversing the world under the time of Alexander the Great and others, they would find these wild horses up in the mountains. And they would bring down all these wild horses, they'd bring them back into camp, and they would try to break them in. And over time, they would train them, and they would see where those horses fell. And so they'd separate them out. Some of the horses became dinner. The ones that could not be trusted, they'd eat them. Or they'd melt them or boil them down, whatever they had to. If they weren't any use and you couldn't trust them and they were mean and couldn't be broken, then they'd be eaten. And then some horses were good enough maybe for pack animals. And they'd load them up and they would help be beasts of burden. And other horses might be good enough for the kids to ride or for the old people to ride or whatever. But they had sections of horses. The very, very best, that was the word. They were considered meek. Praus. And those horses, and those horses alone, were trained for military service. The best of the best. Those that could be trained that would have power under control. They were the best of the best. I don't know much about horses, but I do know we have a dog that we just got, a little German Shepherd. And they said she had qualified to be a service dog. That's kind of the same idea, that was an animal that could be trusted. Not every animal could be considered a service dog. Some of them just, they don't have it in their spirit. They're not willing to be trained. Some of them aren't smart enough. Some of them aren't loyal enough, whatever the situation. But our little dog was actually qualified to be a service dog. So maybe we should have called her Praus, because that's what she is. She's meek. So we have these horses now. They are Praus. And I want you to think of this. This was an actual picture that somebody took during the Civil War. And so I want you to think about the horses that would be involved in battle. Could you imagine how much meekness the horse would have to have? How much power under control to be able to stand right here while there's guns going off and cannons going off and all sorts of chaos going around and screaming and hollering and yelling and dust and smoke and death and destruction. I don't think you'd want your horse to be doing that when you're trying to ride through battle. If your horse was truly a war horse in the Greek idea, that praus, that horse would just keep going straight, would do exactly what it's supposed to do, regardless of what was going on around it. It had power under control. Pretty neat little picture. It has been said, I don't know that I can prove this, that the Greeks took their knowledge and their secrets of this horse training of praus, they passed it along to the Romans. The Romans then passed their same secrets on to the Moors. The Moors passed their secret on to the Spanish conquistadors. The Spanish passed their secrets on to the Austrians. And the descendants of the Greek horses of war, these proles, still live on today. In fact, they come by San Angelo about once every 10 years. The Byzantine stallions that come out of Austria. And so supposedly it has been said that these great horses that are able to be trained in such a way to do these unbelievable jumping events, and they can stay in step, and no matter what goes on around them, these Byzantine stallions, they are actually the descendants of these old Greek horses and the training methods that cause the word meek. That's what meekness means. I want you to look at that horse. You think that horse could kill a man if he wanted to? I guarantee you could. One well-placed, swift kick of his back legs could kill any man it wanted to. But they don't. Would you consider that horse weak? Would you consider it docile and spiritless and broken? No, that horse has more strength than we could ever possibly imagine. But that horse has allowed himself to be trained. And that's what meekness is. It is power under control. So I told you to have the Bible ready. It's page 808 if you've got the Pew Bible. If not, it's Psalm 37. So I'm just going to notice a couple things here in Psalm 37. I think that will help to clear this message up. And we'll close our lesson at this point. Remember, to be meek means to have power under control. And I want you to have that picture of that horse. That powerful horse. That is what meek means. In short, it means to always do what's right. Regardless of the outcome, just do what's right. So as you read Psalm 37, it's kind of lengthy for a psalm. But Psalm 37, that is the underlying message. King David is writing this. I wonder what's in David's mind when he's writing this. But he's probably an older man, kind of looking back on the life that he's lived. Notice what he says in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. He said, don't worry about all these guys doing wrong. He says, they're going to get taken care of. They're going to get cut like the grass. David's advice, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Just do good. Do what God says. Just do what is right. Skip down to verse 16. He says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. In other words, do good. Just do right. Get your money by honest means. Be righteous. Be good. Don't get caught up in what all these other fellows are doing who are not doing good. Look at verse 23. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Just do good. Do what's right, and God's never going to let us fall. Verse 25, I've always liked this verse. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Verse 27, depart from evil and do good. And so throughout this passage of Psalm 37, the message is there. Do good. Just do right. Do what you're supposed to do. Be righteous. Don't get caught up in what happens to other people. Just do good. And now I want to backtrack to verse 11. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Psalm 37 and 11, Jesus quoted this in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if you knew that was a quote or not. And remember, we started with Matthew 5 and 5. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37 and 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Jesus was just quoting the words of David. And so what's the underlying message of being meek? Do what's right. Whether it's what you want to do or that's what you feel like you should do, just do what's right. Do good, and everything will take care of itself. Jump up to verse 9, and it's kind of a parallel statement here. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That sound real similar to what Jesus said? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And here he says, those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So what's it mean to be meek? It's those that wait on the Lord. That's what meekness means. It means to do good, to do right, to trust God, do what he says, don't get caught up with everything else, and have power under control. Think about being that horse in the middle of the battle who just does what he's supposed to do. The horse does right. He just does good. He does exactly what he is told to do. That's what meekness is. It's not weakness. It's not being acquiescent or docile or any of those other fancy words that people try to use as synonyms today. It is to do what is right and to have power that is under control. And our best example of meekness is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.